everybody. David Donaldson here with my associate Joe Martin for another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Joe, we've felt some impact happening in the real estate industry last Friday. See what I did there?
I love what you did there. And you know what gets me fired up about this conversation? I love Black Swan events. Black Swan events make differences. They make businesses great. They give you opportunity and it allows you to get creative and go take market share. So what Dave is referencing is that I'm sure every one of us that are in residential real estate and even commercial real estate or even just in the industry in general had the wonderful opportunity of about hearing about the NAR settlement last Friday, which would have been the, what are we talking, the 14th of March for $418 million. They settled down.
Well, at least it's million and not billion.
Yeah, it's not billion. Yeah, that's a good one. But I think the fact of the matter is that people have to understand, okay, they settled. So what in the world does that actually mean? Well, first off, it's still got to be approved by a court. So those of you that have ever been in the court, you can have a plea deal. But if the judge doesn't approve it, you're back to square one with your lawyers for negotiation. Right. So that's where we're at.
We are. And realistically speaking, I feel if they hadn't had some precursor knowledge on the back end that this could possibly be approved, we wouldn't have been hearing it to the degree that we're hearing it, right?
Yeah. So
at least that's my knowledge from watching episodes of Hill Street Blues and all the cop shows that I watched growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny part, and I know that we're being a little like comical because in my world, when crazy things happen, I tend to laugh at them because the opposite of that is going into a dark hole, and that's not good for anybody's sanity or perspective on life, right?
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. I had a training this morning, and I walked into the room, and presentation is everything. It's kind of what you're kind of getting to, right? I went in with an up tempo, jovial type of mood of like, how excited are we about the information that dropped from NAR last week? And I kid you not, everybody in the room was like, this is awesome. This is such great news. There's about 10, 15 people in the room and not a single person had a negative nilly about it. But I do also know that it was carried because of the positive nature that I presented the material with, right? And that's how, when we look at these things, say the conversations around this is like how we present it, how we look at it, and how we embrace it to utilize it. Really, really matters.
Yeah, I think that the three things that I look at for this settlement, and this is just mindset before we get into some details to cover some things, because there's a bunch of like wonderful misinformation and clickbait stuff that's out there about the world is falling and there's going around the real estate, right? So I look at what you're bringing up, Dave, at spot on is there's energy, there's focus, and then meaning. And what I mean by that is, hey, we had a black swan event. So those of you who don't know what a black swan event is, that something comes out of left field that you didn't see coming, and it totally wrecks the current situation that you're in. So, you know, probably about a year ago, we had Silicon Valley Bank go insolvent. That would be a black swan event, right? When you had Lehman Brothers go insolvent back in the late 2000s, that was a black swan event. They didn't see that coming. You have another one that's going on in China right now that's not really being covered is Evergrande, which is the largest real estate developer in China that's backed by BlackRock. BlackRock's based out of New York City as a hedge fund. They went insolvent as well. Well, the most recent black swan event that actually impacts real estate is the fact that NAR settled for $418 million. So black swan events are things you can't plan for, but they create opportunity. So when you think about energy, you have two choices when things happen to you in life. You have a positive energy or a negative energy, and negative energy doesn't bring anything. So I'd encourage everybody to be positive about and try to find some type of opportunity. Focus on the opportunity that can actually gain you market share and propel your business forward, and then give that meaning. And I think the meaning that we all need to give our focus on how we redefine real estate is how do we make it more impactful and better for our consumers? And those are the things I'm looking at. I'm high energy about what's going on right now. I have a focus on what can we control and actually change inside of real estate to make it better. The meaning being that if we can create a better experience, a better process inside of residential real estate for our consumers, we will be at the head of this, which means we'll have market share and dominance, and we'll have an amazing businesses that grow throughout this entire challenging time.
You're spot on. And if we got to break this down, right, there's about four or five bullet points of like saying, here's what's the outcomes and the effects of this, right? And the first one is that, hey, again, no surprise here, buyer broker representation required. Well, guess what, everybody? It's been required here, at least in our territory, for 12 years. Let that sit for a minute. 12 years. Now, has everybody been utilizing it properly? No. Has everybody been accountable to utilizing it properly? No, because people are scared to have the proper conversations. People are scared to have a value proposition because, well, if I push on this, somebody else is just going to do it. Doesn't make it right, but there was a scarcity and mindset around it. And the same went on for different brokerage houses and residential agents of not holding the consumers to it and holding their associates to it. Well, now guess what? You have to do it. You got to have a buyer broker agreement in place before, Joe, I can show you a house. It's a change, but it's an enforceable change for something that's been there for quite some time.
Well, I mean, going back to what's best for the consumer, like I think you have to put frames around what happens is that this whole thing was around what's best for the consumer. And frankly, wouldn't I look at it and say, okay, so you force people to have a higher level of professionalism that they can actually sit down with you. So if I'm sitting down with Dave, now I'm forced legally to share what's my value proposition, what makes me unique as the business owner, what services and products I'm going to offer Dave as the potential buyer, and then what I'm being compensated for providing all that. Frankly, that's a business conversation, and I think that's going to elevate the professionalism within the buyer rep agreements because now like people are going to have to actually know what they're getting, what they're paying for, and I've got to deliver on an outcome because I know it's coming from you as opposed to coming from the seller.
Correct. It gives clarity, right? The challenges for a lot of people are like, well, listen, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to tell you what this means, and you're going to compensate me because of the job I'm going to do. And, oh, by the way, the seller's going to cover it, so don't worry about it. That's the conversation, how that has to be changed. It's like you have to now be paramount above, here's what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to look for you to do, and this is what you should look for me to do, right?
Correct. So, yeah, the transparency is great. And just one caveat, I'll put an asterisk on this. This settlement doesn't stop sellers from offering co-op compensation.
You're jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead.
I just want to be clear on that because there's like the thing that bothers me the most about this misinformation is it's saying that, oh my God, sellers can't pay, you know, cooperative compensation. No, what this settlement is saying is that it cannot be listed in an NAR affiliated MLS.
So,
it cannot be marketed in the MLS for co-op compensation in that MLS.
Bullet two for Joe. Offers clear cooperative compensation cannot be made on the MLS. Right? So that, and again, look at where this is coming from, right? The biggest challenge initially that came from the original lawsuit was the conversation, what compensation was expected or offered and set standardized. This does separate that a little because it forces you and I as the buyer and agent representation to have a conversation around what's cost, what I'm going to do, what compensation I'm going to earn on your behalf without ever knowing what's actually offered now on the other side being contingent on that deal. That is a barrier of entry that differentiated that you can't. People always now all radically start to look, well, there's an end around. I can do this or I can ask that. No, you have to have an agreement in place. Right. Even though our contract currently says, hey, you can earn whatever's in your agreement and keep whatever the difference is, that part's going to go away. Right. There isn't going to be like, oh, above and beyond. So don't go into your offer setting a low barrier of entry of agreeable compensation because you feel that that's something you won't receive pushback on from your consumer. Right. Then you're setting a low expectation on yourself and you're devaluing what you actually are offering, thinking that you're going to capitalize on that shared seller concession on the other side, no longer called commission, it's seller concession, or how that may be offered. You don't know. And if you ask for too little, that's what you're going to get, not what might be offered on the side, because there is no increased difference. Now, if you ask for a certain dollar amount or percentage in your buyer broker agreement that exceeds what might be offered, that's a negotiation thing that can be contractually adjusted down.
Correct. And I think at the end of it, and we'll keep going into some of these tactical things that are in there that I think are very insightful. And once again, I guess another like caveat asterisk is that we're going off of the interpretation of what's been released today. Sure. There's still tons of legal. So Dave and I are not attorneys. We don't moonlight as attorneys. We don't plan to be one. So disclosure, we're not attorneys. So if you have any direct legal questions, please go find your professional. But we're all going off of the interpretation of what we've read, what we've seen from Real Trends, what we've heard from Gary Keller, what we've heard from you know, Mike Delpredi. There's all kinds of things that Dave and I read on this one. So it's all over interpretation, how it comes through. And at the bottom line, I think, you know, not to cross promote like another person, but Steve Murray put out a great podcast on the, I think it was the 15th.
Who was that?
Steve Murray from Real Trends Consulting. He put out a really great podcast. I think it was on the 15th or 18th, maybe. I'll find it. We can put it out there. But what he basically came down to is, let's get to the bottom line, then we'll get into the details here, because we should have framed this one up too. And we're not the smartest guys in the world. But what I think is important about what Steve brought up, and Steve's kind of like the gold standard of like third-party residential real estate and identifying like what are the things that are going on here. What he basically said is that this settlement benefited sellers. It benefited companies like CoStar and Zillow that were not NAR MLSs. The people that are probably going to feel the worst around this are buyer agents, their client, the buyers, and then the brokerages, and that there will be commission compression. Absolutely. And I think when I look at the buyers, whether or not the buyers take a hit on this, I think here's where I think the buyers benefit and where the buyers get hurt. The buyers that benefit is because there's going to be more transparency about what they're getting, which I think is a plus. The downside is that because of how they're going about with commissions, which is perfectly fine, transparent for the consumer, a free market that we're in. The challenge is their ability to afford professional representation, yeah. Right? Because a lot of people now will be able to say, well, you know what? In order to save money, I can't pay this because they don't understand it. Or maybe their agents they talk to aren't negotiating the comp, whatever it is. Some people are going to go unrepresented, and they're going to go in talking to listing agents thinking that this person's helping me, when in fact, the listing agent is the fiduciary to the seller. And I think that's probably the biggest loss to the consumer as a buyer, is that this ability to have representation if they feel they can't afford it, especially they're going to have some changes with the VA loan products as well, so that they can have compensation or at least understand how that's going to be paid to getting professionals to represent you in one of the biggest purchases of your life.
Yeah, you're right. That this is scary to think that we could go back to more of a sub-agent type of mindset or dual agency, which I know in some areas is illegal. So I wish more places would go to that, to add that layer, especially for this, of protection, right, for the consumers. And there is too many things still up in the air that VA I probably won't be resolved by July, right? And for some areas, like especially with a lot of places on the East Coast where a lot of the military personnel revolves and there's different bases, it's going to affect a tremendous amount of people, right? The lenders, right? The law, the agents, we all are going to have to work on this together to make this a win-win. And it's not going to be resolved by the time that this theoretically could be settled. That's the problem with some of this rushing this down the pipeline, is that there is too much nuance around what actually happens around the day-to-day at the lower levels that is being ignored or not clarified enough, nor well enough, inside the courtroom.
Yeah, and I think once again, not to go like Chicken Little on everybody on here, the sky is falling. I think the other part is the areas of our country where there's a lot of VA buyers, I believe that the listing agents are educated enough to inform the sellers that, hey, look, we can't put this advertised commission in the MLS, but as a broker, we'll get into these details too, is that there is nothing in this settlement and there's no law changing that prevents the brokerage that owns the listing to market on their newsletters, on their websites, on their internal listing platforms, what the cooperative compensation is to the buyer. So I do believe that in the markets that have high VA buyers, they will still continue to offer co-op compensation because they realize that the buyer on a VA product can't actually compensate. And I believe that doing justice for the community and for the consumers that we serve, that those listing agents understand the value of having a fiduciary represent them and how that brings a transaction to close. Because the last thing anybody that's ever listed a property wants to deal with is an unrepresented buyer that has no agent working on them. Because one, if you're a human, you probably realize that like, hey, you're not doing the best thing for yourself. But also Do you really want to deal with handling both sides of the transaction and represent? I just don't see how a listing agent is going to want to deal with a lot of unrepresented buyers just because of some of the legal challenges you got, especially like in the state of Maryland where you can't be dual agency.
Which to me, I've always felt should be the law of the land, but it's something that I personally adhere to that I wouldn't do that. You kind of tied together a couple of the other bullet points of the transaction, right? So that offers of clear cooperative compensation may be made off the MLS, right? And brokers can publish cooperative compensation on their own website. So while everything is coming off of the MLS, and we'll see what that new version of that looks like, right? People are already like, oh, which means no public remarks. This means no showing time. Just like nothing will be disclosable around offers of compensation for commission to cooperative sides, right? However, outside of the MLS, my personal website, my brokerage's website, or anything that I do, I can still offer that on behalf of my seller, whether commission-based or contribution-based, right, so it's just going to be the information, the delivery vehicle of how that information gets out there and different legally, right? Not with end arounds is how we got in here to begin with, right? But ethically, morally, properly within the systems that they have laid out for us, that will, again, let's not try to get creative here, folks. Let's not do that, right? Focus on what has to happen. Focus on your agreements. Focus on your disclosures. Focus on your value proposition. Focus on the conversations with your sellers and your buyers, right? You still have to have clear conversations with the sellers about what they're signing and what they're offering and how you're going to deliver that information once this all becomes commonplace.
Yeah. And I think the other part to remember on that, what you're bringing about marketing, is it goes back to the brokerage that has the listing agreement. So like, for instance, if you have an IDX feed and on your website, you've been promoting other listings out there because it was pulling from MLS and you're promoting listings that are not in your brokerage, you cannot actually promote that compensation for a listing that's not affiliated to your
brokerage. And for those that you don't know what IDX is, that's just the ability to search for real estate on a website.
Yeah. So thank you, Dave. I apologize. I really thank you for that because I want to make sure everybody understands. The other thing that I thought was very interesting in this carve out was some things that have been going around there if you're in the brokerage leadership part of this settlement, is what NAR did is they settled this, but the people that are covered, so I just want to be clear about this, is that there's a carve out, a limit of $2 billion in sales volume. So what they did was they basically said, we will cover any NAR affiliated owned MLSs. So if there's a non NAR affiliated MLSs are owned by that, they're not covered. If they have done more than $2 billion in volume, they actually have there's a multiple fine that they will be assessed because they're over $2 billion. So any NAR affiliated brokerages under $2 billion in sales volume and what they're basing on is 2022 are covered in the settlement. If you did over $2 billion and you didn't have a prior settlement that covers you. So the three companies right now, as we're recording this, that had covered settlements was Anywhere, Remax, and KW. So if you're any NAR affiliated brokerage that did over $2 billion, you weren't one of those three big box brands, you're open for fines. And the reason they did this is that the plaintiff's lawyers wanted to obviously increase the settlement dollars. So they basically covered all the small brokerages under $2 billion and opened it up for anybody that hasn't already settled that are over $2 billion with NAR affiliates. So like with that multiple is covered is it's a quarter of a penny for every dollar of sales volume that they're going to base that average on for the year of 2022. So you've got some brokerages out there that have some sizable fines anywhere north of $4 million. That are going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Spot on. That's a really big point, right? I was going to address that too. It's like the NAR, right? It doesn't preclude, right? These other companies have their settlement. NAR covers certain aspects of that settlement that we're never going to have to hear, right? Their fines and their agreement is separate from the three that you just mentioned, Anywhere, KW, and Remax.
Yeah.
However, how that does affect those organizations is everything else that we just covered in the agreement as far as offering clear compensation through the MLS, that's where we're affected, right? Not through their dollar settlement, but through their functional settlement. Those other organizations that are out there, some of them, like you said, are incredibly large in number of licensees that they have and sheer number of volume they do because of the number of licensees they have, that's 2D determined.
Correct. Yeah. So you got some people out there are going to be some, especially your large independents are going to be some challenges. Berkshire is still going through the settlement process as well. I think they'll probably settle. But you know, I'm not a guru or have a future looking glass here, but yeah, you got some opportunity that's going to shift up the market. And I think that's the piece for agents as well as broker owners. Like there's a moment in time with all this like change up is how do you train your agents to say, these are the services, these are the conversations, these are the products, these are the things that we're going to charge as you move forward. So it's beneficial to the consumer, right? So whatever that looks like is going to be fun. And I think paying attention to educate yourself, read, and actually understand what's going on and just don't follow misinformation just because someone who's had a viral video on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook and really understand who you're in business with matters right now, because you need to have leaders that are looking outward 10 years from now, understanding what the legal settlements are saying, where the industry is going. And right now there's a reason why all the big box brokerages went down on Friday, on the 14th, and CoStar went up.
Interesting.
Let that one sink in as far as their stock price. So to be continued, I think this is what we've got for updates on the NAR settlement as of, you know, March 14th. And Dave and I will continue to bring this stuff up, or it's the 5th, sorry, the 15th was the settlement. Apologize on that. But we'll keep bringing up like market of the moment podcasts on the settlement as it comes up to give direction to our agents and our broker affiliates and partners, just because I think it's important to actually get true information and just the facts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll bring this as best we can, but internally, go to your brokerages, talk to your leadership, get trained, get educated, sharpen those tools, understand your buyer broker and listing contracts, and just be ready to take market share. With all that, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week for another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Stay tuned.